I'm David Martin Davies, and coming up on The Source, mental and behavioral health concerns remain widespread among college students and other young adults, while cost and uneven access continues to prevent some from receiving professional care, according to a new national survey. And as young people deal with their mental health, many are turning to artificial intelligence platforms to find coping strategies. What are the options? This is a community conversation. We want to hear from you. Call in at 833-877-8255. That's what's coming up on The Source, but first, this news.
Support for The Source podcast comes from UT Health San Antonio, South Texas' largest academic research institution, where what is discovered in its labs translates into life-changing patient care. More at uthealthsa.org.
Live from the John L. Santico studio in downtown San Antonio, this is The Source from Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. Mental and behavioral health concerns remain widespread among college students and other young adults. Many are struggling to find care that they can afford. A new national survey from United Healthcare found that more than 62% of young adults said that they or a friend or a roommate experienced a mental or behavioral health concern in the past year. The survey also found a striking disconnect between students and their parents. While more than two-thirds of students reported a concern, fewer than half of the parents believed their students had experienced one. Here in Bexar County, the number of mental health providers has increased, but access remains uneven. There is still scarcity on the city's south side. So why are anxiety, depression, and other concerns remaining so persistent among young adults? What are keeping them from receiving professional care? And what are the risks when they turn to AI instead? Joining us is Dr. Pooja Dutta, a newly appointed chief medical officer for United Healthcare South Texas Employer and Individual Health Plan. Dr. Dutta, welcome to The Source.
Thank you for having me.
So what is the scope of the problem? The survey found more than 62% of respondents said that they or someone close to them experienced a mental health or behavioral health concern in the past year. What does that tell us?
Yeah, so what stands out is that these numbers have remained consistently high for four consecutive years, which suggests that we are not dealing with a temporary spike or a short-term trend, but rather an ongoing challenge affecting young adults nationwide. And young adults continue to navigate academic pressures, financial uncertainty, career decisions, social expectations, constant connectivity, often all at once. And so to move the needle, we need to continue normalizing conversations about mental health, improving awareness of available resources, and making support more accessible and affordable. And progress isn't just about increasing services. It's also about ensuring young adults feel comfortable seeking help before the challenges escalate.
Is this generation, are they dealing with additional health, mental health, and behavioral health concerns than other generations?
Yes. Unfortunately, a lot of things that we have experienced in the past have just intensified recently, such as social media, constant comparisons, academic expectations, financial pressures, as I mentioned before. And so it has been at a all-time high this year, which is 4 years in a row. And so this is definitely because of all of these social pressures intensifying.
Right. So I found it really interesting, this part about how parents don't really seem to understand what their young adults are going through. Mm-hmm. They don't understand it. So I think that parents, older people, have to recognize that the strategies that we used and we went through and everything we went through, it's very different than what young people today are going through.
That's right. And, you know, there are a number of reasons for the disconnect. Young adults may not always share what they're experiencing, particularly if they are away at school. And even if they do, some parents may interpret stress, anxiety, or emotional struggles as normal part of growing up. and not recognize when additional support may be needed. And so the danger is that if parents don't fully understand that what their child is experiencing, and the opportunities for support, encouragement, and early intervention could be missed. That's why open, honest conversations remain so important. As parents, I know that we want to solve their problems, but maybe it should just be more about listening and making them feel heard.
Not be judgy.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah, so the survey asked respondents, as well as their friends and roommates, how should we interpret that 62% figure? That's high, I would think.
Yeah, it is definitely very high. And it is, you know, most of them are college. So it is higher in college students. And if you see, it's a 15-point lower in non-college students, which doesn't mean that they are not at risk, because then they have additional other issues. So college students, as well as young adults that are not going to college, have equal opportunities to not get or seek mental health, either because of financial pressures or what have you. So it's definitely a very high number, and which tells us that this is a very important issue that we need to solve. And that's why United Healthcare has like a very large amount of a very big network of behavioral health support. And we encourage all adults, all young adults, students, and their parents to seek out help, reach out to local organizations or their health plan, and definitely talk to trusted family members and just seek help.
So can you give me any more details? I mean, what kind of behavioral health concerns, mental health concerns, are we talking about? Are we just like generalized social anxiety or depression? What is happening here?
Yeah. It's mostly depression, anxiety, and stress. Those are the most common. And as I said, it's mostly in young adults who feel like they have too much on their plate. They are expected to do a lot. And, you know, they don't have enough support around them to communicate their issues with either their parents or trusted family members or friends. And so a lot of these young adults are also turning into the AI platform and trying to seek help there, just to understand if there are any resources available, which I totally encourage, and that's fine. But I think that does not, it's not a substitute. You can use AI, but it's definitely not a substitute for professional mental health professionals or our family or trusted sources.
If you're going to use AI, okay, if you turn to that, I mean, I guess there are some AI products that are better at this than others?
Absolutely. You know, there are, and they have a lot of tools, like they can provide immediate access to information, coping strategies, mental health resources. And that could be particularly appealing when someone feels isolated or uncertain about where to turn. But at the same time, as I said, AI should be viewed as a supplement, but not as a substitute for human connection and professional care. And it is encouraging to see that technology helps people engage with mental health resources. But again, meaningful relationships, qualified healthcare professionals, those still remain very important for long-term support and well-being.
Okay, we're going to take a break here. Our phone lines are open. We definitely want to hear from our callers if they have seen, if they've been experiencing these mental health and behavioral health challenges. Where did they turn to? Have they tried AI? Do they get some support, coping strategies? Do they feel like older people, like myself, don't understand what's going on? You know what? We don't. And we got to recognize that. But can you give us a call? 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. We'll be back in 1 minute.
Support for this podcast of The Source comes from Texas Mutual Insurance Company, a workers' compensation provider committed to rewarding policyholders who keep their workers safe and losses low. More at texasmutual.com/TXM Advantage. Texas Mutual. Texans get it.
You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin. Davey's new data underscores the sustained and complex challenges facing college students and other young people today as they try to cope with behavioral and mental health issues. We're learning more about, you know, tools that are available for their support. We're speaking with Dr. Pooja Dutta about that. And so we have so many people in Texas who don't have health insurance. And that's got to be a barrier for many people here.
Yes, that's right. And for those that are not insured, there are many available resources that I can mention. There are some free apps online. There are community health centers, local support lines, university programs. There are some free or low-cost sliding scale therapy and clinics, local nonprofits, government helplines as well. And I don't know if everybody knows about NAMI, National Alliance of Mental Illness. This is like one of the largest grassroots mental health organizations in the U.S., dedicated to improving millions affected through education, support, advocacy, and public awareness. So those are some very important resources that they can reach out to, which have equally the same benefits as through insurance. And they can, of course, always talk to someone they trust, with family, friends, college counselor. And so these are some of the things that I would recommend.
833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. If you want us to better understand this problem from your point of view, I'd love for you to call in. Or if you've had someone in your family or close person deal with this, we'd love to hear that story, 833-877-8255. So I want to circle back to this concern about this idea of using artificial intelligence for mental health support. So there's got to be some, I'm suspicious of using AI because I've read so many stories about how things have gone wrong. So what are some guardrails we have to be aware of?
I would say just always use trusted sources, make sure that they are nationally recognized sources through government agencies, official, either mental health associations and National Mental Health Associations and National Alliance of Mental Health. I believe, you can still hear me, right?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Okay. And I believe that would create some sort of a barrier when it comes to AI just, because AI is not perfect. There are certain, I've seen examples of where you can train them to believe something else. So it is definitely a very new tool. And I would say give it some more time before you can trust it completely. So just mainly use nationally recognized organizations for mental health resources.
I mean, about a quarter of people who use AI are using it for companionship and for emotional support. It does seem like young people feel more comfortable confiding in a chatbot than in another person. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if that's a good thing. Doesn't sound good to me.
Yeah, I think we are seeing a huge role, a growing role of digital tools. And they are, I think, one third, I believe, in the study, one third of the young adults reported using these platforms to explore symptoms, find coping strategies, or just companionship or emotional support. And so this definitely reflects a broader shift in how younger generations are seeking information and connection. And again, while while these tools are helpful, they are most effective when used alongside guidance from a qualified healthcare professional. So we it's very important for us to think of them just as a supplement, not a substitute for real care and human connection. We always recommend seeking professional help.
But the needs are severe. There are a lot of needs in this area, clearly, based on the data that you're providing. But a lot of young people, they're living in or they're near poverty. Mm-hmm. And when you're in those situations, you're going to suffer disproportionate rates of anxiety, depression, and trauma, drug or alcohol addiction. You know, we just know that. We've seen that. The research supports that. So it seemed like and these are the people who are most isolated from actually receiving the treatment. So the people who need it the most are least likely to get it. Is that right?
Absolutely. And, you know, when you mentioned at the beginning that Bexar County has seen an increase of mental health providers, I just wanted to mention that, you know, just an increase in the number of mental health providers is certainly encouraging and reflects progress, but the provider availability and access are not always the same thing, right? So young adults may still face barriers related to cost, like you mentioned, insurance coverage, transportation, appointment availability, or simply just knowing where to find help. So, in fact, our survey found that affordability remains one of the leading reasons that young adults do not seek mental health care when they actually need it. So it's important to recognize that there continues to be a shortage of behavioral health providers across the U.S., including Texas, and more so in the rural and underserved communities. And so while Bexar County's growth in provider capacity is a positive step, demand of services still remain high, and there is a lot of affordability issues for a lot of needy patients. And so UnitedHealthcare supports members through one of the industry's largest behavioral health network that I was mentioning before, and it consists of 496,000 providers, including 275,000 virtual care providers. And we also have specially trained advocates to help members understand their benefits, from digital self-help tools to 24/7 in the moment emotional support, connecting people to the right care at the right time. So ultimately, improving access isn't just about increasing the number of providers. It's also ensuring the care is affordable, available, easy to navigate, particularly for young adults who may be hesitant to seek support for whichever reason.
I mean, I can imagine if I was a young person in today's world, and how could you not be stressed out and have a lot of anxiety, particularly when you see the state of the world and almost every headline is telling you that the future is grim.
Right. That is an additional thing that has recently taken a lot of space in their in the young adults' minds. You know, before, I think with social media now, it has intensified even more the all of the concerns for the world that they take upon themselves, including their own personal issues like education, employment, relationships, etc. So, yes, it is a lot. And that's why I think we all need to be very cognizant and aware of these young adults feeling this way, and just openly talk to them, you know, encourage them to talk and just listen. You know, obviously no judgments or no, they don't even need us to really help them. They just want to be heard. And so I think that is what is the crux of the matter.
And if they don't get support, I guess they engage in risky behavior, self-medicate. It can just become darker.
It can be, and you know, the overall the situation that we are seeing with this report is that it is not a short-term issue. It is definitely a long-term issue because what we have seen in the study. And so we would highly encourage that these students or even young adults definitely seek support. The first step is to maybe talk to a doctor or simply knowing what's available out there. Many young people don't even know the full range of support options that they have. And so also their health plans can play an important role, just like UnitedHealthcare. You know, we have so many options on our website, phone, digital self-care tools, local resources. And if you're unsure where to begin, just call up the health plan website or also there is also the suicide crisis lifeline 24/7 available. There are so many resources. I would focus on directing these adults to get help instead of, ignoring the symptoms and signs, especially for parents, since we see a big disconnect between parents and children.
Do the young people recognize that they're in crisis? Is that the right word? Because probably their peers are going through the same stressors.
They probably do, but they're unsure if they should reach out or bother their family, friends. And I think that's why AI is definitely a little bit of a, a supplement where it can help you at least recognize your symptoms and direct you how to seek help, whether to seek help or not, and what kind of help. And then they could maybe get encouraged to talk to people. And we need to also normalize mental health amongst everybody. It is no longer considered a social taboo or stigma to be talked about. I think most of us understand mental health is a very important topic, and it is just this the generation with social media, with so much connectivity, this was bound to happen, and we should all recognize that this is part of life, and we should help each other solve the issues instead of ignoring it.
But it sounds like you're saying this is not something that they're going to grow out of. This is an acute problem for this generation.
It could be, and it is very hard to say. We still the study is still ongoing, and we are going to continue to watch. But if there is a small chance that this will continue in their lives, we want to make sure that they have continued support, continued professional help, and their family and friends understand and help them feel heard. So we definitely want to plan that way and make sure that we have everything to
But
prevent any issues.
is there enough care out there? I've heard a lot about when they do try to get counseling or therapy that they end up on a wait list.
There is enough care out there. It is just about access. And so we all are always we're always trying to get these young adults and students aware of everything that they have available. And that is mostly why UnitedHealthcare really recommends calling us and figuring out all the benefits. And whether you have insurance or not, there are so many local and national resources that they have access to. They should really there is enough availability if they know the right resources to use. And so that's why calling the health plan, figuring out your benefits, or even going to your local communities or college, will dramatically help you help these college students figure out a way to seek help.
Including telehealth, and there's all sorts of
Absolutely.
apps available for that, BetterHelp Online, things like that.
Absolutely. We have a lot of virtual care mental health therapists and psychiatrists in our network as well. And actually, that's increasing dramatically. So that is another very easy accessible on your phone. You don't have to go anywhere. I think that would be a very good option for students that are busy in their daily lives or doing part-time jobs, etc.
Or have transportation concerns,
Transportation issues. Exactly.
if you're living in a rural area, isolated area. This is not just for
Right, right.
yeah. So
And
this is impacting
also
people all across the spectrum.
Right, exactly. And they could even visit with a provider that is not in their local area, just like you mentioned, either different city or different state, whatever is covered by the insurance or if it's covered by the national government agencies. So I think that's a great option to have the telehealth virtual care available.
So, what's the single most important message that you would want to give a young adult who is struggling but unsure that their problem is serious enough to seek help?
I think the most important thing is if a young adult or a college student start feeling anxiety or depression or starting to interfere with their daily life, it is very important to seek professional help. It is also important to communicate. We really need to emphasize communication, good communication, healthy communication with family, friends, professionals. And a primary care physician might be a great starting point for some of these students and young adults to assess their symptoms, connect individuals to appropriate care, etc. So, as I mentioned before, early support can make a huge difference in outcomes and overall well-being. So I think that would be what I would recommend.
Dr. Pooja Dutta is the Chief Medical Officer for United Healthcare South Texas E&I. Thank you so much for speaking to us today. Appreciate your insights.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. The Source is hosted by David Martin Davies. Tim Gutierrez is the show's producer. Additional production support from Steve Short, Yvette Benavides, and Dan Katz. The Source is made possible with support from the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.
Support for TPR comes from UT San Antonio, offering degree programs and research focused on workforce development, student success, and health innovation across Texas. UTSA.edu. UT San Antonio, the University of Ambition.
The largest sports tournament in the world is about to arrive in Texas, the 2026 FIFA World Cup.
Teams from across the globe are set to play at Dallas Stadium and Houston Stadium in June.
Whether you're a diehard fan or just a little soccer curious, we've got you covered.
When the World Comes to Texas is a new podcast from KERA News.
We'll talk to the people holding down the sport and the culture here in Texas.
It's out now. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.